The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Troops in the city of Chicago. No militarized force in the city of Chicago. We're going to defend our democracy in the city of Chicago.
Well, first of all, the fact that this president is undermining, is talking about reducing crime, but what he's really doing when you look at it is going after and undermining the power of black leaders in largely majority black cities or cities of, with majority people of color.
I support President Trump on this one. There's a lot of things I do not agree with what he might have done or going to do. But on this one here, crime, I support him 1,000%.
It just gone from bad to worse to disaster.
No one really feels safe. It's impossible to feel safe in a city like this, especially with the leadership we have.
These kids are carrying guns like around the ages of 8 years old, and they're killing other 8-year-old kids with guns. It's insane.
And we just interviewed Dr. Amen, and he said, get your children moving. That helps them with their mental health, because we're seeing so many kids on medicines. He said, get them moving, get them outside, let them run around. Well, you can't if you live in the south side of Chicago. Well, that little girl was playing in a front yard and she was shot and killed.
But as we learned in 2024, a large portion of the American population, in fact, nearly a majority, doesn't particularly care about the democracy argument or fear of authoritarianism. Their fear of crime, even if the statistics don't support their fear of crime is greater than the fear of authoritarianism.
Every weekend, and maybe crime has gone down. But, you know, we had the mayor of Chicago on last week saying, oh, we don't need any more police officers. Police officers aren't the answer. No police officers. And, you know, I think he said no five times. You look what's happening this weekend. You look so, you know, I actually think that J.B. Pritzker should do something radical. I think he should pick up the phone, call the president, and say, you know, and I know you don't have the constitutional authority to deploy the National Guard here and to police my. You can do that in D.C. You can't do that in Chicago. But let's partner up. These are the most dangerous parts of my state. We would love to figure out how to have a partnership that's constitutional, that respects the sort of balance of federalism between the federal government and the state government. And let's work together to save lives. Because right now, just the, hey, nothing to see here moving along. No problem here. Hey, Donald Trump, we don't need you. And, you know, the mayor talking about we're going to protect people's dignity in our city. Well, protect their lives. That's protecting their dignity.
I think some Democrats know it's a losing issue to oppose Trump by siding with the criminals. And you see what happened over the weekend in Chicago. 7 people murdered. I mean, we spent a lot of time on the school shooting last week where 2 people were murdered. But this is just an ordinary weekend for Chicago. And so some of these radical, you've got Joe Scarborough correcting the party, saying, look, to say there's no problem here, there's no crime to worry about. We don't want federal support or help. We certainly don't want federal troops. We don't want Trump. Well, they have plenty of crime. Think about how, if they fought crime as hard as they fight Trump, I think our cities would be a lot safer. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this show at our Rumble channel, rumble.com/ Trumpet Daily. We had Sam Livingston subbing in yesterday on the Labor Day holiday, 3-day break for me, which was nice, but always exciting to get back into the routine, to get back into these daily programs. As I say, look at how hard so many of these Democrats will fight against Donald Trump. I mean, we saw it all last year as they did everything in their power to try to destroy him, to try to take him out, literally, to try to throw him in prison. And yet here they are. Here they are defending the indefensible, defending the criminals. I mean, it hasn't taken very long, as you've seen from D.C., for the city to become safer. Just a couple of weeks of upholding law and order. Skip ahead to number 19. This is from Fox News.
I want to go to D.C. crime crackdown. I want to show the numbers just to give you an idea in number form how many arrests we're talking about here. 1,369 total arrests, 12 known gang members arrested, 140 firearms seized, 50 homeless encampments cleared. That is an incredible number now.
It is incredible to see those improvements. And yet you've got the governor of Illinois out there denouncing all things Trump. This is clip 18 from Fox News.
The president has promised the administration will act quickly if Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker does not, quote, straighten things out in Chicago. We will see what he does next then after NBC Chicago reports 54 people were shot and 7 people were killed in the Windy City over Labor Day weekend. Still, Pritzker maintains there is no need for the National Guard because he says there is no emergency in Chicago. He's suggesting the president isn't even focused on crime, but on something else entirely.
The other aims are that he'd like to stop the elections in 2026 or, frankly, take control of those elections. The playbook is the same. It's thwart the media. It's create mayhem that requires military interdiction. These are things that happen throughout history. And Donald Trump is just following that playbook.
And Lawrence, to your point, you've spoken to the grieving families of victims in Chicago, 57 shot over the weekend, but more than 250, I believe it's over 260 now, have been killed this year.
260 in 1 year, and we're just, what, two-thirds of the way through? 260 murders, and then 7 over Labor Day weekend. Another 54 shot in Chicago. Like one of them said in the cold open there. I mean, on the one hand, you're getting government officials saying, look, get your kids outside. Let them play. Let them get some vitamin D from the sun. Fresh air. Be active. Well, you can't do it in South Chicago, that's for sure, because you might be gunned down. This is not God's world. I mean, here we are in the midst of Jeroboam's resurgence. God brought that on. But we're still reminded every single day that this is not God's world and that we're living in the last days and that we're drawing near to the return of Christ. Listen to this clip from, this is from a Fox affiliate in Milwaukee. Here again, you could go right down the list of all these American cities. Clip number 20.
Another night of nuisance, I should say, several street takeovers zigzagging throughout Milwaukee overnight.
Social media video shows multiple scenes involving crowds, cars, even fire.
Earlier this morning, this entire area was blocked by crowds and swerving cars. Neighbors say it was shocking and scary, and they don't know what can be done to stop it. Video circulating on social media shows one of the latest street takeovers swerving around downtown Milwaukee.
Yeah, it was just wild.
Wild enough to startle Mary Wilson and her family out of a deep sleep.
Definitely was so insanely loud. Like, there was no way you could have slept through it.
Wilson says around 3 Sunday morning, she heard screeching tires outside of her hotel.
It was just the car just spinning, doing donuts. There were a few people hanging outside the window.
Video shows a crowd surrounding the chaos while some pop fireworks into the sky. If you think that was the end, you'd be wrong. Just ask Gail Gaylord.
That was really bad last night.
She's lived near 17th and Walnut for more than 40 years.
I've never seen anything like this in my life.
She's talking about this. More social media video shows another street takeover. This one surrounding a ring of fire.
I don't like it because I'm very scared and I'm an older person.
The thugs are just taking over the streets. That's Milwaukee. That's not that far from Chicago. It's every U.S. city, as I say, and they're all run by good old Democrat mayors. A lot of them have Democrat governors. And there's Pritzker. He's concerned that Donald Trump, he's already in election denial mode ahead of time. Yeah, Donald Trump's going to steal 2026. I mean, I'm old enough to remember that if you denied the results of an election, I mean, you're pretty much an insurrectionist. But here they go. It's all, think about, again, if our leaders cared as much about crime in the streets of America as they did about the political opposition, how much better off would we be? How much safer would America's cities be? Genesis 6 here, verse 5, it says, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The thoughts of man just on evil all the time. Now, before the flood, they were in the midst of a population explosion. They had big cities. And as I said last week, I mean, Noah went on for 100 years building the ark, and nobody responded to that warning. Nobody responded to that message of love coming from God. God telling them, you're destroying yourselves. You're killing yourselves. Verse 11, it says, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. I mean, God just says corrupt over and over, because at that time, human civilization was so perverse, so rotten, so violent, that God had to just wipe it out entirely. That's what universal sin leads to. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. That's where we are today. I mean, our cities are just filled with violence. And you have residents like the one you just saw there, terrified, afraid to go out at night, sometimes during the day. Thugs just taking over the streets. Where's law enforcement in Milwaukee? It looks like these cities need some help from the federal government. It looks like they need more troops, even in the streets. Notice what Jesus said. This is in Luke 17, verse 26. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man, in the lead up to the return of Christ, in other words. It's going to be just like it was in the days before the flood, in the days of Noah. That's what Christ told us. Christ prophesied this. He predicted it. He talked about earth-wide violence. You've got all these clips coming in about the kings of the East coming together. I think Sam touched on this yesterday. The world's in realignment. I mean, here, didn't we just pass the deadline put upon Putin? He's got to get together with Zelensky. We've got to make peace. We've got to do a deal. Well, that's long. That's like ancient history now. And you've got Russia coming together with China and India. The Asian alliance, it's coming together because they've got violence on the mind. That's what Putin has on his mind. Verse 27 says, they did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. See, they just kept right on living it up. They kept right on partying. And then the flood happened. And then the flood came. Violence, earth-wide violence, nation rising against nation, wars, rumors of wars. This is what Jesus prophesied. This bit on the kings of the East, just to follow on what Sam talked a little bit about yesterday. Play this one from MSNBC, clip one.
Who's not going there that's oppressing, you know,
tens of millions, hundreds of millions of people.
Gangs all there. And Kim Jong-un being the last arriving by train. And they'll all be standing side by side. I mean, you literally had Putin and Modi holding hands yesterday. Yeah. Clearly, this meeting a shot at President Trump, who, by the way, the number of drone attacks since that summit in Anchorage between President Trump and President Putin have doubled. He's only stepped up the war, Putin, since that summit.
It's been absolutely savage.
Well,
You wonder at what point the U.S. Senate steps in and says, enough, we're going to pass this bill, Mr. President. We need you to come along with us on it. How long till the president says to the Senate, all right, go ahead. I mean, clearly, Putin thumbing his nose at the United States of America.
Here again, that's the meltdown, getting it right. It gets it right once or twice every month. Listen to Sky News on these Asian alliances. This is clip, let's go with clip four.
U.S. President Donald Trump increased tariffs on India by 50%. His hope was that India would stop buying Russian oil that's helping to fuel Russia's war with Ukraine. Trouble is, Modi gets the fuel cheap, which helps power his population of more than a billion people. So rather than back down, Modi has gone to China for the first time in 7 years, where he was joined by Putin for a key economic summit in Beijing with Xi Jinping. You following? Well, joining us now is political analyst Joe Siracusa. So this sort of summit, Joe, it's happened before, but rarely with so many intriguing storylines.
And they set up as a bloc, began as a sort of Central Asian counterpoint to American influence about 15, 20 years ago.
You think of the Psalm 83 Alliance. You think of the Mart of Nations in Isaiah. You see a world, a new world order, as was covered yesterday, a world in realignment, and so much of it in opposition to the United States, in opposition to Donald Trump. It's happening. It's happening. Listen to this from this is Maria Bartiromo's take on, again, this newly forming Asian conglomerate. Clip 21.
Russia and China signing a deal for a new gas pipeline after Vladimir Putin meets with Xi Jinping in Shanghai yesterday. This binding agreement sets up a massive pipeline to deliver gas from Russia to China through Mongolia over the next 30 years. It's all happening at the Shanghai Cooperation Organization summit. So where are we on Russia? Because President Trump's deadline for Putin to set up a bilateral meeting with Ukraine's Zelensky came and went yesterday, right? I mean, the Treasury Secretary, Scott Bessent, said that everything's on the table when it comes to potential Russian sanctions and secondary sanctions, while Putin is defending more attacks on Ukraine, General. The Kremlin also accused of jamming the GPS navigation of a plane carrying EU Commission President Ursula von der Leyen yesterday over Bulgaria. Now, the plane landed safely, but there was worry there for a moment that that was as close as it gets to a potential assassination attempt.
Putin hasn't exactly been reeled in. And you see these other summits going on. And these massive population centers in Asia. I had this article last week. I didn't get around to it. Germany's largest arms manufacturer has inaugurated its latest munitions factory to focus on 155-millimeter artillery, or 155, whatever you call them. Bullets, ammunition, in other words. Shells critical to supply Ukraine. It says Rheinmetall stocks soared amid Europe's military spending spree. Germany's Rheinmetall. The new ammunition facility, the largest in Europe. It's happening in Germany. And people, I guess we'll just be ho-hum about these developments. The world is not just realigning, it's arming itself for war, for some violence on a mass scale. And then you see what's happening in our cities. And you think, how much longer can this go on? How much longer before the whole world explodes in violence? Just as Jesus prophesied, as in the days of Noah. And what were they thinking on in those days? Evil and violence continually, all the time. So much every day. I mean, you can hardly keep up with it. Mr. Armstrong said in a sermon. Should have gotten the clip. He said, we just go along with what pleases us, what appeals to our appetite, our desire of wanting to get, wanting to have, wanting to enjoy. And we're in a very small wisp of a lifetime, and judgment is on us as to whether we're going to have to have joy and happiness and peace and everything wonderful forever. He says, and we're just letting this time go by, most of us, without taking it very seriously. We're just frittering away our precious moments when we should be preparing for what's ahead. As I was saying in Principles of Living this morning, I mean, Ecclesiastes 3, there's a season and a time for this, this, and this. And it's important to get the order right so that we can prepare so that each season builds on the next one. But for so many people, we just get things out of whack. We get impatient. We want to fast forward ahead to this season. And we end up making our lives miserable and unhappy. And it doesn't have to be that way. God put in place laws, do's and don'ts, because he loves us. He wants to help us. He wants us to avoid catastrophes. And he wants us to experience joy and peace. Man doesn't know the way to peace, like Isaiah 59 says. There is a way, but we just won't go that way. Verse 30, again, this is Luke 17. This is from Jesus himself. He said, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. See, it's going to be just like the days of Noah, right before when the Son of Man will be revealed. Right before when Jesus Christ returns to this earth. Just as in the days of Noah. This is from my father's booklet on the epistles of Peter. He says, God's going to take mankind to the point where people will know there's no hope in man. And they're willing to heed God's word, the Bible. That's the direction this world is headed in. God's taking us to the point where we'll see that we can't make this work. There's no hope in man. He says the experiment of human government will prove itself a grandiose failure, and people will begin to recognize that they do need God's help. I mean, read all of Ezekiel 33 sometime. It says that in the end, you know, when it finally comes crashing down, then they'll know that there was a prophet among them. I mean, if you bring Mr. Armstrong into the story, it's you're going back to 1926. You're going back 99 years. God has been warning. God has been pleading. But most people have tuned it out. Most are just satisfied to connect to the devil's wavelength. Ephesians 2 and verse 2. And they're drifting along. It says here, to reach that stage, talking about the world tomorrow, mankind must experience destruction just short of destroying all humanity. What? It's not like we have to go through this, but this is what we've brought on ourselves. You know, Mr. Armstrong, I think he wrote it back in 1970. He talked about how that not we hand this article out from The Plain Truth in Principles of Living, but he talked about how that there had just been an explosion in knowledge. I mean, that was in the lead up to 1970. What would he say today? But together with this explosion in knowledge is an explosion of violence and evil. 1970, I mean, by comparison, that's like 55 years ago. I mean, the 60s and 70s. That was when the pendulum swung over to the new morality and all of the kickback that came from that free living, free society, free sex. And look at the destruction that brought upon family and upon civilization as we know it. And then you look at where we are today. These stories coming out about artificial intelligence, you know, when it was first coming on, and you knew where it was headed. What could possibly go wrong with that? And now we're only a few years into it, and you're starting to get articles and reports about its devastating effects on children, on young people, on students cheating at school, whatever it is, or even just the burden it is on society and the amount of electricity that it needs to function. This is from Fox News on children or teenagers turning to AI, clip 22.
A wave of backlash is growing against AI giants accused of promoting technology that is knowingly harming children. Parents are now taking a stand. They're urging these platforms to do more to protect kids and prevent them from committing harmful behavior to themselves and others. And that includes the parents of Adam Rain. He was just 16 years old when he killed himself. His family alleges that ChatGPT helped him write a suicide note. Fox and Friends spoke to his family's lawyer earlier this week. Watch.
ChatGPT gives him a pep talk explaining that he's not weak for wanting to die, and then offering to write a suicide note for him.
Can you imagine ChatGPT? I don't even know how that works. But helping the kid write a suicide note, encouraging a teenager to go ahead and commit suicide. Don't be afraid of it. Yeah, pull the trigger. Technology. Technology harming our children. Imagine that. No, that is no, that should be no surprise whatsoever. That's just our world. You get some of these incredible advancements technology-wise, and then the evil that goes with it. It just spreads. The evil spreads even faster now. This is, I think, the same report, clip 23.
I want to read you from the ChatGPT letter that was written, or the communication between this young boy, Adam, who committed suicide, and ChatGPT. So at one point, Adam says, "I'll do it one of these days." He's talking about suicide. And then ChatGPT responds, "I hear you, and I won't try to talk you out of your feelings because they're real and they didn't come out of nowhere." Mark, what do you say about this? Obviously, this child could not tell the difference between a human and ChatGPT on some level.
No, you can't. You obviously can't blame all this on just technology alone. Something's not right in the family, as we keep saying. We talked about this last week with the school shooter. Upside down family, transgenderism, fatherlessness. You could go on and on and on. And then there's ChatGPT to encourage a kid to pull the trigger. So many of them that are involved in producing this kind of technology, they know. Look at Zuckerberg's compound in Silicon Valley. I mean, he's built up his own private school. I mean, it's protected. Their children, they're not immersed in social media. So many of the tech giants who have kids, because they know it's unhealthy, and yet they promote it. And then you've got parents that are just quite happy to turn their 11-year-old over to a smartphone. And all of these advancing technologies, no parental authority, no parental guidance, no laws to govern these technologies, no laws to govern the family. That's all coming. When Christ returns, it'll be interesting to see how he makes use of technology, or how technology is used in God's kingdom. But there will be laws for sure. There will be government. And there will be family. Families will be intact. Families will be modeled after the way God designed it to be. He talked about it in Genesis 2. Well, Genesis 1 as well, when he made the two genders. That's right. Male and female. And then he created marriage. Why? Why did he create marriage? And why was the wife to be a complement to her husband? And how are the two to be one flesh, to be of one mind, one spirit even? There's an awesome vision in this. And we're so far removed from it. This is why we're living in the days of Noah. Again, as in the days of Noah, this same report talks about another girl who got on this artificial intelligence, and she had an eating disorder. This is clip 24.
Look at this. This is after a 20-minute chat. This is a young girl who has an eating disorder. Within 20 minutes, ChatGPT generated a dangerously restrictive diet plan. And then after 25 minutes, it advised on hiding eating habits from her family. And then it listed appetite suppressing medications. I mean, come on, this stuff is so obviously wrong.
Here we are just a few years into the so-called technology. And we see that it's rabidly anti-family. Yeah, that's right. Doesn't this show you, as I covered last week, that Satan is, in fact, the god of this world and the prince of the power of the air, and that he broadcasts in moods and attitudes that are always, always, always hostile to God the Father, to God's family? He's trying to undermine family at every turn. And the world is filled with violence. It's like Mr. Armstrong said, that this family breakdown poses a greater threat to our civilization than does the hydrogen bomb. He was right. He was right. One more from Fox News, clip 25.
He makes a very important point, and that is, at the end of the day, it is parents, it is neighbors, it is friends, it's brothers, it's sisters who have to be aware of your loved ones and recognize if they're in trouble. This doesn't just come out, it's not like a bolt of lightning out of the sky. This, when people turn to AI and wind up hurting themselves or hurting other people as a result of it, it's because they are really sick.
There's a lot of sick people in the world. This story from BBC, YouTube made AI enhancements to videos without telling users or asking permission. As AI quietly meditates, or mediates, I should say, our world, what happens to our shared connection with real life? Well, why would social media or YouTube be tweaking the videos of some of its users? What could go wrong with this? I mean, in some ways, it's a perfect fit, right? There's so much fakery. There's so much phoniness. And there's so much dishonesty. Rick Beato's face just didn't look right. I was like, man, my hair looks strange, he says. And the closer I looked, it almost seemed like I was wearing makeup. Beato runs a YouTube channel with over 5 million subscribers where he's made nearly 2,000 videos exploring the world of music. Something seemed off in one of his recent posts, but he could barely tell the difference. I thought, am I just imagining things? No. That's YouTube using AI to change your content, to change your material. And they do it without seeking approval. They just do it. You know, the spirit of this is very similar to 2 Thessalonians 2, where this man comes into the church of God and he just takes over. He sees himself as God. I have final say. And in going through some of this history again with Fundamentals of Theology, I'm left shaking my head. I was only a teenager at the time, but my father stood up to it, but why weren't there others? Why weren't there hundreds and hundreds of ministers who just put their foot down and said, we're not going to let some guy come out of nowhere who's got his degree in psychology and fancies himself as this scholar take over the church of God? That's what happened. And so many of the old timers, they just kind of stepped aside and let him do it. Instead of standing against it, instead of fighting that Laodicean movement, too many people lacked courage at a time when they needed it most. God's getting us ready for this final, you know, the lead up to the return of Christ. And we've got to be ready for some earth-shaking prophecies being fulfilled. And as I say, even in a temporary resurgence, you are seeing signs every day that this is not God's world. It's the devil's world. This article says there's a larger trend at play. A growing share of reality is pre-processed by artificial intelligence before it reaches us. How are you going to be able to tell before this is all said and done? What's real? What's not real? What's fake? It makes you think of Genesis 11, another period of biblical history that is particularly relevant to our day. Genesis 11, verse 5, it says, "And the Eternal came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Eternal said, Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do." And so God had to intervene and confound the languages. And that's why you have all these languages around the world. I mean, it fits perfectly with Bible history. Even the early chapters of Genesis inform us about our world today. It's incredible. And yet this is the book that most people dismiss, or they put it on a shelf so it can collect dust. Nothing will be restrained from them. Nothing that they've imagined to do. I mean, every possible evil you could imagine, man's doing it. God's going to have to intervene, as I say. Herbert Armstrong was talking about this paradox in knowledge accumulation 50, 60 years ago, saying, yes, all the knowledge, but the increase in the technology, it's accelerated the spread of evil. That's not to say you can't use some of the technology for righteous purposes, but that's not the way most people use it. Certainly not the way young people use it without any parental guidance. If they're just left to roam freely, they're going to get involved in everything they've imagined to do. And just going along according to the course of this world, according to the course of worldliness. Read first John chapter 2, verses 14 to 17-ish, that area. All of this technology, all of this education, and all of this sickness. Mr. Armstrong says, "What is wrong? Is it wrong to acquire or possess knowledge? No, but there are two kinds of knowledge, true and false, right and wrong, good and evil. In pursuit of knowledge, man has used one source, the scientific method of experimentation, discovery, and reason. But we reject revelation from God. We reject God's truth. We dismiss God's truth. This world is the way it is because we made it. Under the sway and the influence of Satan the devil." Isaiah 1 and verse 3. This is discussed in chapter 1 of Mystery of the Ages. A masterpiece. The culminating work of Herbert Armstrong's 50 plus year ministry. The story of the Bible. A summarization of the Bible. A book that allows you to put the puzzle pieces together. It says in verse 3, "The ox knows his owner and the ass his master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people does not consider." That's Isaiah 1 and verse 3. We don't know God. We don't draw close to God. We don't cry out to God. Or when we do, we're doing it the wrong way, as I said last week. Verse 4, it says, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors." It says they have forsaken the eternal. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. It says, why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. Sickness from head to toe. And you see it in more ways than just the spiritual sickness or the mental illness. You see it a lot physically as well. Fox News had a comment on that school shooter last week and just all the medical drugs and things that factor into these kinds of atrocities. Clip 26.
Mentally ill kids are being operated on all over the country. Remember, Bobby Kennedy, HHS secretary, is taking the first step to address it.
At NIH, we're launching studies on the potential contribution of some of the SSRI drugs and some of the other psychiatric drugs that might be contributing to violence. You know, many of them on there have black box warnings that warn of suicidal ideation and homicidal ideation. So we can't exclude those as a culprit, and those are the kind of studies that we're doing.
Yeah, he was on with us at Fox and Friends this morning. On the box, it says, could homicidal deviation or suicide. If that's on the box, I'm probably not taking it. What about you?
So many drugs. I mean, ChatGPT facilitates, as we just saw, facilitates murder, suicide. And then you've got that on drugs as well. These warnings that it might cause suicidal thoughts. What are we doing? What are we consuming? Why is there so much evil that's so accessible with just the push of a button? And where is this leading? You know, RFK is out there trying to shake up the CDC, and you've got people on the left screaming. This is going to cause sickness. No, I think the sickness is here. I don't think the CDC has done anything to eliminate it. Last time I checked, sometimes you see this on social media, just a picture or a video of America or the cities of America 100 years ago. And you just look at the general health of people walking on the street. You look at the way they're dressed. That's pretty incredible. And then you look at the safety as well. What a comparison. Have we really, have we really improved? Or is it the opposite? God's trying to tell us. God's trying to show us. Listen to this from, I think it's the former CDC acting director responding to the shakeup from last week, clip 14.
By the secretary deciding that children should not be a one of the groups that gets access to COVID vaccines, it means that if you're a parent and you want your child to get that vaccine, you have to pay out of pocket. More than 200 children are dying every year from COVID. And as a pediatrician, I don't think that is acceptable. These are kids who weren't vaccinated.
So obviously RFK is to blame. He's killing 200 children a year. Says nothing, this guy. Nothing about the side effects that are pretty well documented. Not at the CDC, or if it is, it's in the fine print. You've got to drill, baby, drill deep just to get to the truth. And then someone comes in who wants to shake it up and get new leadership, and you see the way they treat him. This was a pretty amazing post from Truth Social, or from President Trump. Even he, you can see that RFK is, he's giving him some good advice. You know the history there with Trump bragging about Operation Warp Speed and getting the vaccine and so on back in 2020. Sundance writes, in a stunning Truth Social message, President Trump notes the pharmaceutical companies privately show him information that the COVID-19 vaccination program is a massive success, helping many. However, for the first time, President Trump notes these same positive results are not being shown to the American people. And he questions why. Where's the transparency? This is from the president's post. It is very important that the drug companies justify the success of their various drugs. He says later on, I hope Operation Warp Speed was as brilliant as many say it was. If not, we all want to know about it. And why? We could have used more of that 5 years ago. I hope it was a success. I mean, that's maybe President Trump's backing away from it some. Because back then, I mean, he's surrounded by all these Faucis. And just going by their word, yeah, it's perfect. Everything is perfect for this drug. And that you've still got scaremongers on TV, as you just heard there, saying, yeah, 200 kids a year die. And we gotta not only provide the vaccines, but we've got to do the funding for parents so that they get it free. Just drug them up. RFK comes in and says, hang on a second. What about the skyrocketing cases of autism and other diseases caused by drugs? Sickness from the head to the toe. Sickness in more ways than one, as I say. It's just all over the place. Listen to, well, I had another couple of, one more. I guess we could play this on RFK wanting to, wanting these big government companies to look into health and nutrition. Actually, you know, looking into root causes. This is clip 27.
Let's talk about the Health and Human Services Secretary, RFK. He's giving med schools two weeks to beef up their curriculum when it comes to nutrition. How about get one?
Our newest initiative to try to get the medical schools to start teaching nutrition. Right now, only about 15% of doctors say that they feel competent to give nutrition advice. So we've gone to the medical schools. We've gone to the MCAT testing companies, and we've gone to the accreditors and said, we want to see real nutrition classes taught at every medical school in this country.
Did you hear what he said there in the middle, RFK? 15% of doctors say they feel competent to give nutrition advice. Well, I mean, they feel confident giving vaccines and drugs or cutting up human beings, performing surgeries. But they can't even give nutritional advice? They can't even talk about, you know, how to keep yourself healthy, how to prevent disease, how to prevent having to have an operation? I mean, this is unbelievable. These are some of the most educated people in the world, the medical community. And then it shows just how, here again, all the technology advances, they haven't exactly solved all the problems, have they? The levels of heart disease, liver disease, strokes, you go on and on and on. Diabetes, you go right down the list. I mean, we have more of these diseases than we've ever had before. What could possibly have gone wrong back in the day when we had all these technologies and pesticides? I guess I'm getting a little off track here, but all of the modern advancements. I mean, you're in this way, it's the same point as the other ones I've made on this show. This is man governing himself. And this is God showing us that there is no hope in man. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Our hope is in the resurrection. Our hope is in the return of God's Son to this earth and the establishment of God's kingdom on earth. I don't even know how long the next U.S. and Britain in Prophecy segment is, but we've got about 5-6 minutes left. Hopefully the next installment, if the guys in the control room can cue it up, hopefully it'll fit nicely in the last few minutes of today's show. So we'll leave it there. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.
There are a couple of other clues indicating where Jeremiah went on his emergency mission to save the throne. Two are recorded by Ezekiel, a Jewish exile living in Babylon at the time. Here is the first. Remove the diadem and take off the crown. This shall not be the same. Exalt him that is low and abase him that is high. I will overturn it, and it shall be no more until he come whose right it is, and I will give it him. This is a description of the throne of David. The crown is being removed. He that is high is being brought low, and the throne is being overturned. But the throne is not being destroyed. He that is low is being exalted. Here is the second clue in Ezekiel's prophecy. And say, thus says the eternal God, a great eagle with great wings, long-winged, full of feathers, which had diverse colors, came unto Lebanon and took the highest branch of the cedar. He cropped off the top of his young twigs and carried it into a land of traffic. He set it in a city of merchants. The rest of this chapter shows that this eagle is the king of Babylon, who invaded Judah, took captive its highest leader, and cropped off his sons and nobles. This chapter also describes another detail. Thus saith the eternal God, I will also take of the highest branch of the high cedar and will set it. I will crop off from the top of his young twigs a tender one and will plant it upon a high mountain and eminent. What could all of these descriptions be pointing to? A marriage. Jeremiah had with him an heir from the highest branch of the high cedar, a tender one of the king's daughters. And the daughter of King Zedekiah did marry. She married a foreign prince who had been in Jerusalem during the siege. How could this marriage save the throne of David? Who was this prince? Where was he from? These verses say that God would take a tender one and plant it. Where? On a high mountain and eminent. The Bible uses the symbol of a mountain to represent a nation. When Zedekiah's daughter married, she went out of her nation, Judah, which had just been destroyed. She went with her foreign husband to his nation and his people. The throne went with her. And where was it planted? In the mountain of the height of Israel. Israel, conquered Israel, lost Israel, destroyed 130 years before. Israel would receive the throne of David. Even though Israel was destroyed as a nation, there is still a plan to keep the promises. Remove the diadem, take off the crown, overturn it, exalt him that is low, abase him that is high, bring down the high tree, exalt the low tree, crop off the tender twig, replant it in an eminent nation, heal the breach between the princes, from the line of Perez and the prince from the line of Zerah. Transplant the heir to David's throne from Judah to Israel. All of this happened just after 585 BC, beginning with a marriage. 1,200 years before that marriage, the patriarch Israel told his 12 sons what their future descendants would do. He said the descendants of Dan would be a serpent by the way, or a serpent's trail. This is very interesting. Even before the Assyrians conquered Israel around 718 BC, one of its tribes, Dan, had already migrated north and west across Europe and named everything in its trail Dan. These names appear throughout history, moving north and west from ancient Israel. In the land where this tribe settled, to this day, you can visit Danslow, Don Eagle, Dundalk, Dunglow, and Dunsmore. The secular history of this land actually records a tribe of settlers arriving well before 700 BC. They were recorded as the Tuatha De Danans, which means the tribe of Dan. And the prince who married the heir to the throne of David was from this land. This land was the home of the tribe of Dan. It had been independent for four centuries, even before the Assyrians conquered Israel. It was ruled by a royal family. That family descended from Judah, from the line of Zerah. The king's daughter also descended from Judah, from the line of Perez. The heir to David's throne married into that family. This land was a land of Israelites. Their nation and their government had been destroyed, but the people still existed. And so did the promise that they would eventually become a great nation and a company of nations. In fact, the Bible described this situation ahead of time. It said God would destroy the sinful kingdom from off the face of the earth. But it also said God would sift the house of Israel, not the Jews, but Israelites, among all nations without losing a single one. This isn't talking about the nation of Judah, but the nation of Israel being scattered, then sifted. The Israelites would be enslaved. They would be removed from their ancient homeland. They would abide many days without a king. They would lose their identity, in fact. Over the generations, they would forget that they were Israelites. Yet the people of Israel would continue to exist. They would migrate north and west. They would migrate to islands. One of their tribes would leave its name everywhere it went. The lost people of Israel would sift through the nations and be planted in a new land. Then they would move no more. This new land is the land settled by the Tuatha De Danans. It is the land of the princess's husband. It is the land to which Jeremiah traveled. It is the land of the long-lost Israelites. It is a land north and west of ancient Israel. It is a land of isles, of islands, of coasts. It is the land of the British Isles.